If you were with us last Sunday morning, we noticed the Beatitudes of the Kingdom, and here we find Jesus describing the blessedness of those who would be citizens in His Kingdom. He talked about the character of those who would be citizens of the Kingdom of Heaven. The character of those who would enter the Kingdom of Heaven included, as he pointed out, those who would be poor in spirit, those who are humble, they're aware of their spiritual poverty, those who mourn, especially in regards to their sinfulness, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and that's in response to their sinful condition. And yet there are so many people that just do not appreciate the extent of their spiritual poverty and the need for righteousness in their lives. How evil their hearts can be is defined by the great preacher Solomon in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 3. Here Solomon writes, "This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. Truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. How wicked the hearts have become." Jeremiah points out in chapter 17 and verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" But Jesus knew the hearts of men. In Mark 2 and verse 8 and Revelation 2 and verse 23, he vividly points out the defilements of the heart, especially when we notice passages like Mark 7, verses 21 through 23. Here Jesus says, "From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." But to fully appreciate what Jesus has said, let's review this context. The context here is Jesus is answering a challenge that was given by the Pharisees. In Mark chapter 7, the first two verses, they rebuked Jesus because his disciples ate with defiled hands. They didn't wash their hands. This custom was announced or given by the elders of the city. We see that in Mark 7, verses 3 through 5. They rebuked Jesus and his disciples for eating with unwashed hands, but it was more that they were not following the tradition or custom that the elders had instituted. And Jesus responded to them in verse 6 through verse 13. First, he said to the Pharisees, they let traditions undermine or become of more authority than the Word of God. He said they were making their worship both hypocritical and vain. Vain being useless because they followed the traditions of men more than the Word of God. Case in point, he uses the word korban as an excuse not to care for parents. The Pharisees had this mentality that they were holier than thou, holier than everyone else, and the Jewish custom under the law of Moses was that you were responsible for taking care of your parents. The Pharisees took their money and gave it so that others could take care of their parents, and then they would sell what their parents had and become rich. Jesus tells them that they were rendering the Word of God of no effect because of their tradition. So first Jesus speaks to the Pharisees, and then he speaks to the multitudes. We see this in verses 14 through 16 of Mark 7. The text tells us, "When he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them," "hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Notice Jesus said that nothing that enters from the outside defiles a man. But true defilement, true sinfulness and wickedness come from within a man. Third, in Jesus' response here, was to his disciples. We see that in verses 17 through 23. He responded then to them because they asked him to explain this parable that he had just given. And Jesus uses the intake of food to prove his point. He said, "That which passes through the stomach is eliminated, thus purifying all the foods." And that's what Paul talks about in 1 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 5. Then he describes that which causes true defilement. He said, "That which comes out of a man, the thoughts, the speech, the actions." He said, "Evil which proceeds from the heart of man." Now, these Pharisees were guilty of emphasizing the traditions of men in the form of external rituals to the point of neglecting God's word. And Jesus addressed the real problem. He said that they were guilty of the defilement of the heart. Mark 7, verses 21 through 22, he talks about the meaning here. He says that man has a real heart problem. He said man's heart is the source of much evil. In verses 21 and 22, he says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." He said it is this evil that defiles man. And in verse 23, he says that all these evil things come from within and defile a man. It's truly our heart problem. Evil thoughts lead to us being defiled. Evil thoughts. From the Bible Knowledge Commentary, that translates to the general term being translated evil thoughts. And it proceeds in the verb in the Greek, precedes the verb in the Greek text and is viewed as the root of various kinds of evil. Evil thoughts, it goes on to say, generated in a heart, unite with one's will to produce evil words and actions. So our heart is where the evil actions and words come from. And Jesus correctly describes the qualities, if you will, or the characteristics of an evil heart. He talks about adulteries, the illicit sexual relations of a married person outside of the marriage relationship. Fornications, again, the sexual activities of various kinds, including premarital sex and homosexuality. Then there's murders, taking someone's life intentionally. And then there's theft, stealing, which would include shoplifting and pilfering. Covetousness, which is greediness, which makes one an idolater. Wickedness, evil acts done with malice. Deceit, acting with guile or an intent to defraud someone. Lewdness, unrestrained and unconcealed immoral behavior. An evil eye. This is a Hebrew idiom for stinginess in Proverbs 28 and verse 22. Blasphemy, slander, verbal abuse against God or man. Pride, arrogance, boastful opinion of ourselves, often with disdain toward others, which very well describe the Pharisees. Foolishness, a lack of common sense with moral and spiritual insensitivity. Implied in this is that human traditions with their external rituals do not seriously address the real problem that man faces. Defilement caused by sinful hearts. So accordingly, we need to make application of what Jesus has talked about here. First of all, we've got to take any problem seriously. Mankind has always had a heart problem, all the way back to Genesis chapter 6. And so we all are sinners, according to James 1, 14 and 15, and Romans 3 and verse 23. And as such, we are enslaved to the power of sin. Paul would talk in Romans 7 that you make yourself a slave to whoever you decide to choose, either Satan and sin or God and righteousness, but it's your choice. And unless the problem of sin is properly addressed, we will die spiritually. Paul would tell us in Romans 6 and verse 23 that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we will die eternally if we don't make the proper correction. In Revelation 21 and verse 8, John writes, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." That second death is eternal separation from God. We can live our lives so that we can lose our salvation when we have sin in our lives, and that's regardless of whether I'm in the world or I claim to be a Christian. If I have sin in my life, if I die, I am eternally separated from God. But there is a solution, and the solution is found in God's Word. God's Word contains the power to save our souls, James 1 and verse 21. And it points us to Jesus, who offers true freedom from sin. Jesus would tell us in John 8 verses 31 and 32 that He is the truth, and we need to turn to Him. He offers freedom from the guilt of sin through His blood. And He offers us freedom from the power of sin through His Spirit, His Holy Spirit. Jesus is offering not only His solution, but He is the solution. And He offers the solution to sin. And that begins in baptism. In baptism, where we receive the remission of our sins, Acts 2 and verse 38, where Peter responded there on the day of Pentecost. In Acts 22 and verse 16, in Paul's recounting of his own baptism. And also in baptism, where we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2 and verse 38, Titus 3 verses 5 through 7. But then we have to continue in prayer. Jesus offers this solution in baptism first, and then continually through prayer. When we confess our sins, there is forgiveness through His blood, 1 John 1 and verse 9. And when we ask for help, there is strength from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 3, 16 through 21. So the question is this: do we appreciate that there is a problem of sin in our lives, and how it proceeds from a spiritually sin-sick heart, and how easily we can become enslaved to sin, and then how devastating it is on our relationships, not only with God, but with mankind as well? Do we appreciate the solution that Jesus offers for sin? The fact that He shed His blood as an atonement for our sins? The fact that He is sending His Holy Spirit to empower our fight against sin. The defilements of the heart is a passage I believe that is worthy of careful meditation and thinking about and study, because it reminds us of the seriousness of our heart problem, reminding us of the solution that can be found in God, can be found in Christ, because they're the ones that know our heart. Are we willing to follow the prescription of the great physician? Jesus is that great physician. And He tells us in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. 1 John 1 and verse 9, John writes that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to thank you for being with me today. If you have any questions about this, you can listen to the lesson again at church@eastside.com, and you can also leave comments there as well. You can find the times of our services there if you'd like to join us at Eastside Church of Christ. Thank you again.